Developer Diaries, where we go inside the minds of the people building the applications that we know and love. And with me today is Scott Davis. And today, Scott, we're going to be talking about Conquer. First of all, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. So Conquer is a really amazing game for the Windows Phone 8, which we're going to get to. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit about you and your background. And where are you from?
I'm from Minneapolis. I grew up in Iowa, but now I live in Minneapolis.
Okay, and when did you start developing?
Well, I've been a developer for over 15 years, and we started developing on the Windows Phone actually the week that the SDK was released.
Really?
And so,
you're eagerly anticipating its release?
Right away. And I run a user group in the Twin Cities, and we do a lot of XAML stuff and a lot of stuff with the phones. So I've been there from the beginning.
So what was appealing to you about Windows Phone 8? Was it just the untapped market, or was it the SDK and the tools?
Well, I'm a .NET developer, so that makes the choice pretty simple when you're looking at a phone platform to develop for.
Yeah.
And I had a Windows Phone first day of the release. I loved the platform and have since the beginning.
Cool. And now your company is called Conquer. Mm-hmm. So what's it like over at Conquer Studios? What happens there on the day-to-day?
We write a lot of code. we write a
How
lot of code.
How many of you are there?
We have seven partners, but I'm the only full-time person right now. We had three full-time people a year ago. Economies of a startup being what it is, we're down to one full-time person, and my days generally start at 7 and end at 2 in the morning. It has for a long time. But we write a lot of code, and we have a lot of code platforms. We have an Android, an iOS, a Windows Phone, a Windows 8. We have two code bases that run on the server. And then we have some jobs that run for backing up our data. So it's a lot of code to wrangle, and it takes a lot of time.
Well, I mean, this is a serious, complicated, very technical game. This isn't just your simple, you know, like a, how far can you make the helicopter fly? I mean, this is a really in-depth game, so I would imagine there's a lot of back-end work.
This is not a 25 levels and done type of game.
Exactly.
This is a massively multiplayer, it's an MMO. There really aren't that many MMOs on mobile phones, especially that cross three platforms, and we hope to be on Android soon, so we'll be on all three platforms. But it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And the scary part about it is that you've got these weird issues where, what if my map stops serving because the tile server is down? What if the backend database is offline? What if we introduce a bug into a Windows Phone and we don't have an iOS or vice versa? And so it's kind of a risky business because there are so many moving parts.
So you're at all times sort of writing code for all devices then, all platforms?
Yeah, we do our very best to keep all of the clients in parallel. And especially on core features.
Yeah.
Right now, the Windows Phone is out in front of the iPhone with some of the features. and it just has to do with who has time to work on what. But we always make sure that we release core functionality like messaging. We released player-to-player messaging a few months ago, and we made sure that was released within the same week for both platforms.
Awesome. So what's the experience like developing for other mobile operating systems versus for Windows Phone 8?
About six
Be
months
honest.
Ago, we had decided that we needed to put more emphasis on the iPhone platform because the Windows Phone had been ahead. And so we tried to push the iPhone out in front of the Windows Phone for development. And what we ended up finding is it actually slowed down our overall development, because with Windows Phone and having our backend written in .NET, we could run both projects side by side. And so if we found a weird bug that we couldn't really just nail down immediately, we could load up both projects, step all the way from the screen in the phone emulator all the way to the database and back. And with iPhone development, you have to deploy out to the cloud, hit up against the deployed services. When something weird is happening, you either have to open up a JSON test project or write a little sample app to hit up against those.
Right.
And so that just takes more time. And from the time the bug was discovered to the time where you pinpointed where it was happening, was much, much longer. When we put Windows Phone back in front, Windows Phone.
What do you mean when you say back in front or was ahead?
In terms of features. So we were developing
features.
for features on the Windows Phone first, and when we tried to do development for new features in the iPhone before it happened for the Windows Phone, it took longer to find the problems. So by being able to step all the way from the Windows Phone project through to the Azure project and off to the database and back, the minute we found a problem, we could walk the code and discover where the problem existed and fix it. So we were actually able to develop a lot faster with our backend being in .NET and having a .NET client.
Wow, very cool. What about your experience using Visual Studio compared to Xcode?
I don't do the Xcode development.
Okay.
One of my partners is both a .NET and an iOS developer, and the .NET's easier to use. I mean, it's just
You're not just saying that.
third person, right? So I'm getting it from my partner. But
hey, I'll take the feedback.
Yep.
Awesome. So you've said that it was quicker to sort of fix and advance features in the Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. What sort of challenges are there developing the Windows Phone? What are some bad things?
Bad things. Gosh.
What about specific challenges that you guys encountered with this particular game? What were some of the heavier problems that you're like, how are we going to get this done in any of the platforms, really?
One of the things that we did is we made a Windows 8 app. And so we have the Windows Phone app is like your weapon. So you're operative in the world and you're trying to capture and take over cities and towns. And so your phone is your weapon, your soldier on the battlefield. But when you're at home and you're sitting on your couch, it's more like being in a command center and your big table with the maps. And so we built a Windows 8 application so that when you're at home, on the couch, on your laptop or your Surface, you get a bigger map experience to figure out what's happening around me and monitor the battles that are happening.
So you can play the same game across both screens?
Well,
sort of a pick up and play?
It's two different experiences.
Right.
Just like you're
but
when you're
at the same you're at the same character at the same point in the game, the same stats.
It's still
that.
Watching we
it's
cross multiple screens. In fact, you know, not to be too bold here, but when you're on the battlefield, you're out in the world, you're using your phone, and that's your weapon. When you're at home and you're in your basement, you're in the bunker, and you've got the command center experience. In fact, that's what our Windows 8 app is called, the command center experience. And you can't fight from the command center, just like you can't fight in the real world.
Right.
Someday, maybe we'll have an Xbox title where you're flying a
drone
and a mobile operative calls in an airstrike from their phone, and somebody on the Xbox launches a missile into your zone. I mean, there's so many possibilities of crossing all of those experiences with a game like this. And who knows, maybe someday we'll actually get to that console as well.
Oh, that would be awesome. I think that's the future of gaming. I've just been talking a lot about Skulls of the Shogun, where you can pick up and play across all three devices. I love it. So I'm psyched that you're already on two screens. Let's talk about the game itself. So lay out the storyline for me.
Sure. So it's a somewhat evolved story,
and
the premise is that an artificial intelligence has invaded our internet, and we don't know where it came from, and we don't know if it's good or evil, but we know that it's powerful. And the AI is called Conker. And so the world, not being sure of Conker's true intentions, has divided itself into three rival factions. The Legion, led by Agent Sunday, former commander of the NSA's Turing Task Force. The Legion believe that Conker is evil and that we need to destroy it before it enslaves humanity. The Swarm, who are led by nanotechnologist Kimio Nagumo of Nagumo Industries, the Swarm believe that Conker is a benevolent technology that will advance the human race beyond our current capabilities, and we must protect and foster its growth. And finally, we have the Faceless. The Faceless is a loosely organized group of militant hackers. And they don't care if Conker is good or evil. They simply want to steal the technology for their own ends. And they are led by an anonymous spokesperson named Prometheus, who hides his face behind a digital emote mask.
Do you guys have, novelists working for you? I mean, these are serious storylines.
We
this could be a movie.
Again, transmedia, right? That's what we want to be, is we want to be transmedia in the story of Conker. And yes, we've talked often about developing the Conker lore and hiring an author to do that. Our players on our forums, we have player forums that get a lot of activity, and our top players, the players that play the most often, they go out in the forums, and there's a section where you can write a short story effectively
fan
of how
fiction.
you were recruited or a battle that you had with your faction leader. And I tell you, we have got some such talented writers as part of our fiction base, and we're all nerds. I mean, this is what we get into. This is what we love. And so it's just so fun to go out there and read people's stories of their battles or their recruitment and how
that's
they
awesome.
Were.
Yeah. Do you know how many people are signed up and active playing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Tens of thousands right now.
And is that across all the operating systems?
That's across all the operating systems. But what's interesting for us is that we released the iOS and the Windows Phone at the same month. It was last March at South by Southwest.
Yep.
And today we get between 10 and 15 times more downloads from Windows Phone than we get from iPhone.
Awesome.
And it's about exposure. It's just how much easier it is to run yourself up in the leaderboards on the App Store compared to iOS. We're still a startup. We're non-funded. We don't have tens of thousands of dollars to force our app up the list And so the organic nature of our growth in the Windows Phone Store has been fantastic.
That's awesome. Let's talk about your experience developing for the Windows 8, for sort of the companion app, shall
sure.
we call it.
You bet.
Did you have anything there that you would want to tell other developers at? I mean, I think some of our audience might be a little bit leery to start developing for Windows 8 just because there are so many unknowns,
sure.
but we're trying to make it a friendlier face.
Well,
what was your experience?
We planned ahead in our development, and we have our project, our phone project, broken into five projects, and the bottom three projects are just purely .NET code. It's our view models, our service layer, our interfaces layer, all of that stuff. And so we can take that code, just pick it up and drop it right into the Windows 8 project, and all of our business logic just moves.
Right,
One of the things that we did is we said, hey, Portable Class Library. If you don't know about Portable Class Library, it's a project that you compile it and it runs everywhere. It runs on all the platforms. And so we moved all of our code, those libraries that were Windows Phone 7 specific, and we moved them into PCL. And it's a great idea. But I encourage some caution there, because if you want to obfuscate your code and protect your Windows Phone code, PCLs don't obfuscate with the free Dotfuscator that comes with Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to go out and buy a professional obfuscation tool in order to obfuscate a PCL library. But the ability for the code to just move and migrate has been so well. So it has worked really well.
Yeah.
And then the namespaces for Windows 8 are slightly different now than Windows Phone. And so we had to basically just copy out the guts of our XAML and put it into a new user control or a new page.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it just went.
Awesome.
And because almost everything in our app is XAML, it's vectored, we didn't have to build new PNG files or JPEGs and slice them up to have different sizes. We just changed the size of our custom buttons, and they just moved.
Perfect.
So it was really very simple.
Ah, well, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. What about advice for developers out there? You've obviously here taken a huge task. You've done it quite well. You're very successful with the Conquer game and the Conquer franchise. Do you have any advice to fledgling developers who may be wanting to start following your path?
Sure. My advice for building apps or games of any type in this day and age is to be social somehow. Have some component of virality in your application. In Conquer, when you capture a city or knock out another player, you can tweet or Facebook that you just did that.
Yeah.
That's how we've gotten to the growth we've gotten. We're in 157 countries now, almost 250,000 cities captured, with no marketing, no PR. And it's because our players are telling their friends, they're recruiting the people they know, they're tweeting about it, mm-hmm. and that's how we're growing our user base. And the economies of acquiring users is a very complex one to do, and it's not cheap. But if you can build some component of social or some component of viral into your applications, that'll make your ability to gain traction just that much better.
Awesome. That totally makes sense. Well, I really hope to see you on the Xbox. I'd like to see you across all three screens. Is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you'd like to get out there?
I'll play Conquer. I mean, the Conquer's everything that we have in Conquer is about bringing pride into the app. Every gamer has to build an application that instills pride into what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
Now, nobody really had pride in throwing birds at pigs. That had to be manufactured, right? But if you look into the world and you figure out what do people have pride with, there's sports teams, which is, you know, only part of the year. There's politics, which is a dangerous place to build a game.
I'm a Jet fan year-round.
Okay. But the Jets don't play year-round. I
mean, well, the Jets lose when
interest,
they do play.
Interests
so.
Come and go. But everyone has pride in their hometown. Mm-hmm. If you want to make somebody mad, insult their hometown.
That's right.
And so what we've done is we've taken that pride that people naturally have and we've brought that into the game, and now you're fighting to defend your home turf.
Right.
And it really raises that engagement a lot. And so finding things that people are already excited about in the world and trying to bring that into an app or bring that into a game is also something that's really important to run yourself up those marketplace boards.
Makes sense. Well, thanks for the free advice. Thank you for sharing your experience developing for Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8. And thanks for watching here on Developer Diaries.